The nation's most popular investment talk show is Mad Money.
Big fan of the show.
It's one guy talking stocks, droning on and on.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
And it should make you mad, as in angry or crazy, because you need to hear from a variety of market sources.
Of course, the more the merrier!
You need to get a wide range of ideas. You need some balance. And you need to hear something different just to stay excited about investing in these wild times. This is Money Life Market Call. Different experts every day talking stocks, funds, and more.
You had me at hello, tier.
With experts telling you not just what they're buying and selling, but why. Who cares if it's not the most popular show?
Maybe you didn't have any friends.
It won't make you mad.
This is an outrage.
It will make you smart.
That's right. It is going to make you smarter listening to this. And that's because we talk to really smart people, dive into their brain fluid, learn how they do this. Because you benefit from learning about all methodologies, finding out what goes into buys and sells, and then adapting what you hear, what you like, what you can believe in to your own portfolio. My guest today is Martin LeClaire. He is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you want more information on the firm, on Marty and more, go to barrickyard.com. They're on Twitter at Barrick Yard. Marty LeClaire, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be here, Chuck.
We always start with methodology. You are very dedicated to yours. Explain how it works.
Well, first of all, we're an investment firm, and one of the things we like to do is to remind people what an investment is and how we define it. And we consider an investment as any asset which produces income for the potential benefit of the owner of that asset. So anything that doesn't produce income, whether it be, you know, precious metals and other commodities, companies that have negative free cash flow, art, stamps, all those things are speculations. By definition, they're not investments. So we only look at assets that produce income. The second thing is our investment process involves how that cash is generated, where it's going, how likely the odds that the cash will continue, and what's the likelihood of that cash growing, not only just being maintained. The way that we look at the world is that investors can achieve an acceptable rate of return and maybe even a good rate of return if they give the compounding effect time to work. So by definition, we're long-term investors because it's the only way that you can make money is by giving it time. So there are two things that we are. We are both money managers, but we're also wealth managers. But we have a focus on one thing for both hats, and that focus is what we call predictive factors. And what a predictive factor is, it's a time-tested action or attribute which have shown to result in long-term success. For in your personal life, think of it as someone who eats well and does daily vigorous exercise will be healthier than someone who never gets exercise and who only eats junk food. It doesn't mean the person who's healthy can't get killed. It just means that they'll have a much higher probability of having a successfully healthy life. So as money managers, the predictive factors that we focus on is, first of all, to step back, when we make stock market investments, what we're doing is we're buying a piece of a business. And Wall Street has made things very complicated and almost like it's confusing to the public. But at the end of the day, all you're doing is owning a piece of a business. And either that business makes money or it doesn't. As I said earlier, if it doesn't make money, we don't go there. And so then we try to think about what they do with that money. But first and foremost, a predictive factor would be paying a fair price. The second predictive factor is a company which has consistent profitability. Thirdly, we look for companies that have high returns on invested capital because it's not just good enough to make money. Management has to show that they are adept at taking what is your money and reinvesting it or doing things with it to enhance the value of that business. Number four, we only buy companies with modest debt levels because if interest rates were to go up, we don't want the company to get destroyed. Number five, we like companies, what we call skin in the game companies, where the managers have big ownership stakes in that company and ideally family control. the research shows that companies which have family control and have had family control for a long time tend to make decisions based on the next 5 to 10 years, not the next quarter or 6 months. Critically, number six, we want companies that have good money-making reinvestment opportunities. And then finally, we want to avoid what we call the buggy whip manufacturers, and that are companies which could be destroyed by innovation. So think in 1890, you could have owned the best buggy whip company on the planet with all these other metrics I mentioned, but the car made their business obsolete,
right,
and they basically all were screwed. So that's our investment process. And then as wealth managers, what we do, and just to be very quick, because I know we have unlimited time, but we remind clients that predictive factors in terms of their own behavior, there's a number of them. For example, never sell shares when pessimism is widespread. Don't get overly optimistic when things look good. Critically, you know, your listeners should be out there thinking about buying a strategy, like you said, a methodology, after much consideration and sticking to it. Because so many people focus on returns. And if you focus on returns, you're going to get whipsawed. Because seasons will come and go. But if you have a good methodology, if you're in a strategy which over time has been time-tested, then that's how you make money over the long term. And I guess what we'd say is think of your money the way you think about raising your kids. You know, be sensible about it, being realistic. So many people have unrealistic expectations about investments. You have to be patient. You have to think long term. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. And also critically understand there's so many things you can't control. So focus on the only thing you can control, which is your behavior, your emotions. And the good news is that Benjamin Graham, who's one of the, you know, the greats of the investment world in the last century, the good news, you know, he taught many years at Columbia University, you know, a really smart guy, was Warren Buffett's teacher. He said the good news is this, is that to achieve long-term success as an investor, the most important thing is not intelligence, it's not specialized knowledge, all that kind of stuff. It's the ability to be able to control your emotions, and that's to have the right temperament.
Well,
so go ahead.
Well, I need to control our time, and we need to give people an example or two of stocks that come through that process that meet that definition. So what's the name of something right now that kind of fits that criteria, that is the poster child for here's our methodology and the calm way that we approach this?
So the seven factors that are in terms of buying individual companies, one company is a European blue chip. It's called Richemont, but they have ADRs, the symbol is CFRUY. And Richemont is a family-controlled business. They own brands that are second to none. It's a jewelry store chain. They own Cartier, Montblanc, Van Cleef & Arpels. So they own the high-end jewelry stores. They also own watches, watch brands such as, you know, Vacheron. They own high-end retailing experiences like Peter Millar and other soft good companies like that. And the company has no financial debt. It has $6 billion of net cash. And the chairman of the board, who owns the lion's share of the shares, his family does, is very, very, very open about business conditions being crummy. However, the stock is quite a bit down. It's trading around 18 times depressed earnings. And they're in a situation where they're sitting on all this cash. They have a, you know, they've been able to grow cash flow and dividends and all the other metrics at double-digit rates for an enormously long period of time. And these guys are sitting there with all this money. So if conditions continue to be poor globally, they can sit there and make reinvestments for the long term, which is going to ultimately result in shareholder returns that are very attractive in our opinion. So Richemont would be an example of that. Another one would be in Asia. In Singapore, there's a company that's almost 200 years old called Jardine Matheson. Again, family controlled, trading at a very, very good valuations. You can buy an American ADR on Jardine Matheson, and that would be an example. You're getting there. You're buying it below book value at 12 times earnings. It pays a decent dividend that goes up every year. And they own so many different businesses throughout Asia where they've been located since the 1840s, everything from the largest food company in Indonesia to the largest Mercedes-Benz and BMW car dealerships in China, to real estate in Hong Kong, to the Mandarin Oriental hotel chain, really high-quality businesses where the management has a lot of skin in the game and they have a proven track record of enhancing shareholder value. Now, so, for clients who don't, for your listeners who are looking, you know, more to the U.S., because the U.S. market is very expensive, you know, there's still opportunities here and that are in our portfolio. For example, Boeing is a good blue chip, pays an attractive dividend. IBM, Disney, names like that can still be bought in here.
Okay. So that gives us an idea of how it works. Now we're going to put you to the test of our audience.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with Martin LeClaire, Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager for Barrick Yard Advisors. That's BarrickYard.com on Twitter, at Barrick Yard. Hold It or Fold It is where we put our guests to your test. If you want to participate personally, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. We'll add them to our list. Hopefully, they'll make it into an interview soon. And since we're a little late getting here, we'll start with the softball. Since you just mentioned it as liking it, Drake in Miami, Florida wants to know about Boeing. That's ticker symbol BA.
Well, this is a stock that right now is trading in an attractive valuation. It pays a dividend of 3.4%. That dividend can go up. You know, there's plenty of scope for that because of their finances are very high and, you know, very attractive, very strong. So if you want a blue chip stock, you buy, you kind of forget about. I think, you know, there's only three companies in the world that really make airplanes. And, you know, Boeing is going to get their fair share of the business. Their defense business is also attractive. So I think, you know, the cycle may not be the most attractive over the next 18 months, but you're getting paid to wait. I mean, you're getting over 3%, and that dividend goes up every year. And eventually, there's going to be an upturn in the cycle, and Boeing will make money.
So you'll get a soft landing out of Boeing. That's a buy on BA. Ning in New York had two requests. The first for C.K. Hutchinson Holdings. That's C.K.H.U.Y.
C.K. Hutchinson Holdings is part of Lee Ka-ching's empire. And 30 years ago, 25 years ago, he was called the Warren Buffett of Asia. He still is. He's an old guy who has built this amazing business. 50% of their revenues actually come out of Europe. Hutchinson is the leader in ports and other infrastructure investments throughout the world. They have retailing in Europe. They own the equivalent of CVS in Europe. They have some oil businesses. So it's a well-diversified company selling below book value. It's trading at 10, 11 times earnings. Again, it has all those other attributes I mentioned in terms of good runway for reinvestment opportunities in their businesses. They have skin in the game, insider ownership, all those attributes, quality businesses, and it's well-diversified globally and geographically and so forth. So I would say that it is a buy.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's a buy on CK Hutchison Holdings. C-K-H-U-Y. Ning's other request, Stratasys Limited, S-S-Y-S.
Well, this is a rank speculation. They've been losing money for several years. It's a flip of a coin, and it's the type of thing that I would stay away from. You know, there might be speculative appeal, although it's hard to even see that, because what they do is they're in the 3D printing space. You know, they're small potatoes. And the big boys like the GEs of the world and Siemens, they're going to be in that space in a big way. And the sort of early adopters, they're usually kind of destroyed by the big boys eventually, or someone comes along out of left field. They could be one of the ones that come along, but again, it's just a roll of the dice.
Put that one on the psycho list.
That's a sell on Stratasys, S-S-Y-S. Mark, also in New York City, wants to know about Digital Realty Trust. That's DLR.
I know this company well. I've actually owned it in the past. But the problem is that it is extremely interest rate sensitive because it's real estate, and the valuations are way, way, way too expensive. The book value is somewhere around in the high 20s. The stock is in the high 90s. The dividend yield is just over 3% or so. That dividend admittedly is going up a little bit every year. But for an illiquid asset in the real estate market, my old rule of thumb is that you want to at least buy the stuff on a free cash flow yield of somewhere around 7 to 10%. Otherwise, these are illiquid investments, and they're too tied into the interest rate cycle. And over the long term, interest rates, I don't think, are going to stay, you know, at these levels, which are, in the history of our species, interest rates have never been lower. In 5,000 years, interest rates have never been lower. Hard to believe, but interest rates may go up someday back to more of a historical mean, which means that all these interest rate sensitive investments are going to have a really tough slog going forward.
It's topped out. I say we sell now.
That was a sell on Digital Realty Trust, DLR. And last, for Joe in Colorado Springs, it's PG&E Corporation. That's PCG.
I think that's a sell. I wouldn't own electric utilities in here. Not only for the reason I gave, I mean, Digital Realty Trust is a quality business. This is a quality business, but it's too expensive. I mean, right now the dividend yield is barely 3%. Historically, the dividend yield has been more like around 4 or 5% or higher. They've had no growth. The earnings haven't moved for 15 years. So it's inflated because interest rates are so low. So, and the other thing that people should consider with electric utilities is that with all the innovation going on, the revolution in terms of battery technology and that sort of thing, is that the demand for electricity for the first time in American history during an economic expansion has actually declined. And that is unprecedented. And it could portend really tough business conditions for electric utilities from now on.
So, if you want to avoid the shock, you go away from the power companies.
I just can't do it, Captain.
And you sell PG&E Corporation, ticker symbol PCG. Marty, this was great fun. I always love talking with you. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Martin LeClaire, everybody. He is Chief Investment Officer at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you want more information, go to barrickyard.com. Follow him on Twitter at Barrick Yard. Well, we'll wrap up the September 22nd edition of Money Life as we finish things up in just a moment. Stay tuned.
And that's the market.